Is that the biggest number ever gone from an Irish boxing team to the Olympics?
I think it is. You know, seven guys, one girl. You know, the team is just laden with medalists of all sorts, from Olympic gold medalists to world champions to silver and bronze medalists at all sorts of levels. So, you know, as usual, a lot is expected of the fighters, and this time it's no different. We have really a very, very good squad, and when you look down at they're all household names.
Where would you begin? We'll begin with the lightest here. We'll go through them by weight, and 49 kilogram Paddy Barnes. He's he's two medals already, so it's a good starting point.
He has, and Paddy's an amazing guy. You know, he's been around for so long, and you know, I've watched him in two test matches there recently at the National Stadium, one of them against Kazakhstan. He wasn't that impressive. But then again, he was giving a little bit of weight away, a little bit of height away. But then the last one, he boxed against the Russians and he was quite impressive. He was back to his old self. So Paddy doesn't fear anybody. So, you know, he's got so many medals now. You know, he would certainly be hoping that he can perhaps go all the way this time and get a gold medal.
You know, have you been keeping an eye on, or is it possible to keep an eye on who the contenders might be? Because the boxers coming in from the amateur ranks, semi-professional, professionals allowed in and so on. So it's very hard to know who actually is qualified.
It's very difficult to know until you get the draw and so on.
Yeah.
And the draw would be also important for all of them. But, you know, the Cubans will, of course, be a big threat to everybody. You know, they have a very, very good squad of 10 fighters going. So there's at 49 kilo, Paddy will have his hands full if he meets the Cuban Lightfly, a very, very good fighter. Argy Lagos is his name, really good fighter. So, but it wouldn't faze Paddy. He doesn't worry about who he's going to fight. He has full confidence in his own ability to do well.
I suppose it doesn't really matter you know, how good you are. The draw and the bit of luck, I suppose, is very important as well. The draw from the point of view that you might have an easier run through. And
well, you
the
know,
judges.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, going back to my own boxing days, draw is always important. You're always waiting and waiting and waiting. What is the draw? Because it's like in Gaelic sports, you know, in hurling or football, you're wondering who the draw is. Do we get a fairly easy one to start with? And if I win that, who do I come up against next? You know, who's likely to win at the other side, and who's in the other side of the draw in total, you know? So you have a look and you see, well, if I win here, I've got him in the quarterfinal, I'd have him in the semi-final, and probably the other guy here will get through to the final. So you look at it and you work it out, and the draw is important, all right. But you can't have it easy all the way. I mean, everybody that's qualified for the Olympics have done so on merit, and they will be all in tip-top shape.
Okay, we'll go to 52 kilogram, another Belfast man, Brendan Irvine. I suppose one of the newer members of the team.
Yeah, Brendan, I've always been impressed with him. He's a tall young fella, nice, skillful fighter. If there are any improvements I would like to see him make, that is to tidy up his defence. Just get a little bit neater, you know, keep that right hand up a little bit. He's inclined to dropping it low. But he's a very, very good technical fighter. And at 52 kilos, he's quite tall for his weight. And I think he could be a little surprise package, especially, as I said, if he tightens up his own defence. He's a very, very good technical fighter. So Brendan is in there with a good chance.
Well, the next man certainly should be in with a good chance. Michael Conlon from Belfast as well, 56 kilogram, I suppose. Might he be one of those expected to go all the way?
Oh, without doubt, Conlon will be probably the favourite for a gold medal. And ever since I've seen Michael as a young fighter in the stadium, I was impressed with him. He was very, very good. And I remember the first time I saw him, we sat down together afterwards and I talked to him about his style and everything else. And my God, he has really come on to be a really top-class performer. And, you know, that's his dad, of course, will play a huge, huge part in that. John is an excellent coach. He's made a good job of both Michael and his other son, Jamie.
Mm-hmm. Michael can be orthodox or can go southpaw, which seems to confuse the opposition.
Indeed, he's one of the few fighters that can do that and do it successfully. You know, he'll box as a southpaw, then he'll swing back orthodox, and it can confuse your opponent, and especially if you can do it well. But I watched Mikan in the two recent test matches, and in both of them, he was absolutely outstanding. You looked at this guy, and you knew you were looking at somebody that's a bit exceptional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seems to have that X factor.
He does, and he has the confidence, and he's cocky about it, and there's nothing wrong with that because he's able to back it up. But he's a powerful young guy for 56 kilos, which happens to be my weight division, and I've often said, thank God, he wasn't around when I was there, because I would not like to be boxing him. He's that good.
When you stand beside him, is there much difference in size?
He would probably be an inch taller than me, but probably 2 or 3 inches better than me, if you know what I mean. He's just a good technical fighter, and he has the ideas set up there with his dad and with his brother. So he's getting the best of sparring. And, of course, when he goes with the international squad, well, then when they're in camp, he's getting loads of very, very good sparring.
He has a bit to go, has he, yet to win 8 bantamweight titles?
Oh, well, if he wants to stay amateur as well, that'll be well within his grasp. He'll be well able to do that. But I would think he has bigger things on his mind. I'm sure when he comes back from these Olympic Games, and hopefully it'll be with a gold medal, he will certainly be seriously considering turning professional, as may Paddy Barnes as well. So we could have both of them departing to the pro ranks. And to be honest, I wouldn't blame them doing it. You look at Carl Frampton last night, and you look at the kind of money he can make. And so you wouldn't blame Barnes and Conlon for doing the same. And the interesting thing about it is they're all great buddies, and they're all in that little small area of Belfast. So Belfast, I don't know how it is or why it is, but they seem to just churn out these small men that are absolutely world-class fighters.
Yeah, I suppose you go back to Caldwell and Gilroy would be the two names
indeed.
That ring off the tongue.
And a load more too.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Okay, we'll go up to 60 kg, David Oliver Joyce from St. Michael's in Athy.
I'm particularly delighted for him because he's in it actually 64, David Oliver. But he's been around for a while, 29 years old. He's done it all, and he's failed to make it in 08. He failed to make it in 2012. And finally, he made the qualification mark for this one. He's a guy that gives 100%. I'd love to see him fight. I've always said if it was a pro manager, I would have signed him for the pro game because he's an exciting fighter, and he fights with his heart on his sleeve. He gives it absolutely everything. And if you draw David Oliver in the Olympic Games, you're going to bet your life that you're going to have a hard, hard contest.
Can he get a medal?
He would need to get a very, very good draw. David, it wouldn't be the most technical of fighters. He wouldn't have the technique that the likes of Conlon would have, that Irvine would have, Stephen Donnelly or Michael Riley. But what he does have is he's got fantastic heart, and you'd never know what that might bring him.
Move on up to the two men that you're after mentioning, Stephen Donnelly and Michael O'Reilly, Ballymena man and a Port Leash man. You rate them?
I do. Stephen's a very, very good technical fighter. He's not a fighter. I should call him a boxer because that's what he is. From the All Saints Club there in Ballymena, a very good, old, famous club going a long, long time. But Stephen is quite a decent fighter. I suppose you could say he was probably blessed to get a qualification for the Olympic Games, but however, he's there now, and he's in with a good chance, and it's a great achievement for him. As for Riley, well, Riley's got medals in Europeans and so on, and he's an unusual kind of fighter. Again, from the first time I saw him, I was impressed with him. It's like, I suppose, seeing a good footballer first time you spot him and this guy's got something. And Riley was that kind of fighter. He can box, very, very clever fighter, and he can fight very, very well on the inside as well. And if he keeps the old head, he will be one to be reckoned with because, as I said, he's got European medals. He's been in there with the best of them, and he's going to do well, I think, as well.
Well, move up to the 81 kg division. Joe Ward from Moat, as a teenager, sensational. Is he fulfilling his promise?
Yeah, indeed. Joe has been around, it seems like forever now, yeah. But he's still very, very young, very talented fighter, good southpaw, very unorthodox kind of style. He stands up all the time, his body shots. He never bends over for body shots, which is something that most of us as coaches would coach our boxers to do, but not Joe. That's just the way he is. He wings in his body shots from a standing up straight position, and it works very, very well for him. He's a good hard puncher, and he's a good technical fighter as well. So he's not just a fighter, he's a good boxer as well. And Joe Ward will be certainly a hard one to beat in this Olympic Games.
You're talking there, you're mentioning boxing, boxer and fighter and technical type. What type of person is required to win, with the scoring system that's in place at the moment?
Well, it's not all about fighting. It's about being very, very good technically, to have a nice defense, to have nice quick reflexes, not to be taking any punches whatsoever. And we have a bunch of fighters that are boxers, I should call them, as I said, that are very good technical-wise. They're all smart boxers. I suppose David Oliver would be the real fighter amongst that group there. But in saying that, all of our fighters, I think other countries out there are not going to be mad about drawing an Irish fighter, that's for sure. And, if you look at, you talk about fighting and boxing, and you look at Katie Taylor, again, she's a boxer that can do both. She can both box and she can fight. She's very, very good technically as well.
Well, let's talk about Kitty, the defending champion. I suppose a little hiccup along the way there to get qualification. Can she, repeat her victory in London?
Well, it's they're certainly putting it up to her now. It could be that Katie is 30 years old. She's getting older. She's had a little hiccup in her training as well with the loss of her dad there in her corner. But in saying that, if I was a coach out there and I'm watching the draw at the women's lightweight draw, I would not want my fighter to be drawn against Katie Taylor. She's still extremely good. And the two contests she lost, and people have got to remember this, were very, very close. It was like losing on a penalty shootout. That's how tight it was. If Katie had got those decisions, her opponents would have had to shrug their shoulders and say, I thought I won it. But Katie Taylor would be very, very hard to beat because she's really good technically. She's very, very strong. Once she gets that, the head right this time, I think she'll be one for the podium again. She's been doing a good bit of sparring, I understand, with Eric Donovan. Eric is a nice, smart, moving southpaw, former champion, and he's been at all the major tournaments. And Eric assures all of us that she's in really tip-top shape, and I would believe that.
Yeah. Is there a possibility that maybe, she did the hard training, thought she might get through the qualifying maybe easier than she did, and then trying to taper off for the Olympics?
No, I would think no. She never underestimates her opponents. She respects all of them, and she knows that all of them, to beat Katie Taylor has to be the ultimate for any fighter in those her divisions. But she would always prepare to the absolute utmost, and she will have done so now for Rio as well.
You mentioned her father not in the corner. I presume it's difficult to have a father-daughter relationship when it comes to boxing, particularly at that level.
Well, it is. And if you look at some of the great fighters around, a lot of them, and even I've been looking at the, if you look at the pro game as well, many of them have their dads in the corner. Many of them, because the dads would have started them off when they were youngsters, when they were 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and that's just the way it goes. And for me, I had my brother. You have Conan with his dad, and loads of dads have played huge parts in the careers of young sportsmen, not only boxing but all sports.
Yeah, and do you think does Kitty miss her father being in the corner? Is that a disadvantage to Kitty?
I'm sure she does. I'm sure she does. You like to go back to your corner and find the familiar voice that's there for you. Of course you would. You like to, when there's a lull in fighting, to glance your corner and see your dad, and see what he's telling you to do. But now she has Zorantia, who's, worked very closely with her anyway, with Pete. And he's a very good technical coach. And, of course she'll miss her dad, but I think she's going to be good enough to medal again at this Olympic Games.
And are you aware as to why her father's not in the corner?
I don't know. To be honest with you, and I don't inquire about their private life at all. I'm only interested in Katie's boxing career and her ability and so on, and I've always been an admirer of her, and indeed an admirer of, you know, the way her dad has managed her in the past as well.
And is Billy Walsh's absence from the corner a bit of a disadvantage as well to the Irish team in general?
Well, I suppose, you know, it's probably not. You know, Billy is there with the Americans, but Zoranti is very, very good. Like John Conlon is there, good coach, and I don't know, that Eddie Bulger is perhaps there with him as well. You know, when you lose somebody as close as Billy has been to the team, of course, it's a loss, and you would prefer he be there. But when he's not, you just got to knuckle down and get on with it and move on. Teams lose their managers, they lose their top players, and they just got to move on. And that's it. And that's what the Irish boxing squad are doing.